Hello there, you're listening to Audacity, the Authentic Entrepreneur Podcast, especially for female founders. I'm your host, Claire Akers. In this space, you'll hear me talk about anything and everything you need to build an authentic and aligned business that's capable of changing the world. I'm a mum of three, entrepreneur and founder of two businesses so far, and an authenticity coach since 2007. Most importantly, I'm a cheerleader for those of you who have been brave and audacious enough to risk it all, follow your heart and build a business. So welcome to the Audacity Podcast. I'm so glad you're here and let's dive in to the episode. Today, it is my utter delight to be sitting down with one of my long-term faves, Paula Brockwell. Hello, darling, from the Employee Experience Project. Make sure I say that all correctly. I'm excited to see where today's conversation is going to meander to. I know we're going to have a blast and know that everyone listening and watching is going to enjoy this authentic, raw, just exciting roller coaster of a conversation. So let's start at the beginning then, my darling. Tell us about you. What do we need to know? What's your story and how did you get to be sitting in the chair you are today?
Oh gosh, that's a big question, isn't it?
I'll
go with the clip note version, shall I? I always got to start with my name for some reason. It's like the start of the CD, isn't it? I'm Paula Brockwell. I'm the founder of the Employee Experience Project. My professional background is I'm a occupational psychologist who got really bored of doing the same old SH1T, quite frankly, and not feel like I was making an impact on things, and got very close to burnout about 6 years ago and thought, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't continue to feel like I'm just badging people up or bandaging them up and sending them back out into war. And so what I found out later was I was about 2.5 weeks pregnant, so I went freelance and decided to see what would happen, really. So built my business over the last 6 years, really actually only built it over the last 18 months since we spent some time together talking about what the hell would make me happy. And it's been quite a ride, to be honest.
Do you know, it's so interesting. I hear so many stories of women who launch businesses when they're pregnant. I launched my first business when I was on maternity leave. And it seems to be something around that identity shift that makes you know that you're ready for a new chapter. I don't know. It's weird. I'm really interested in the entrepreneurial niggle. You know, what was it that made you think, fuck it, I can do this better for myself?
Well, honestly, it was probably the time. It was very much a personal driver because I was just about to hit my 8th cycle of IVF in 10 years and I was knackered and my work was absolutely mental. And I knew that I only had one more go at me. And I just thought, you know what, if I don't give this a proper go and not be working 70 hours a week in a job that I really don't feel aligned to, then what's the point? So some of it was really about personal driver, but I guess there was a base trust in there that I knew that if I made the jump, I'd be all right. I'd been self-employed and I wouldn't say I'd been an entrepreneur. I'd been made redundant about 10 years before and I'd been self-employed for about 4 or 5 years. And I was a bit rubbish at it, to be honest. I just picked some work up. And I think that gave me a confidence that I'd be able to pay my bills. It wasn't until a few years later that I really realized that I had some value to build something and that I could turn that into an actual business. So yeah, it was more thinking to myself, fuck it, this thing is really important to me and this job isn't important enough to jeopardize that. And there being something in the background that going, well, you've sold your services for the last 20 years to people, yes, under a brand, but still it was you selling it, so you'll be able to do that enough to pay your mortgage for the next while, so just go and do it, really.
Yeah, that's so interesting, and I'd like to just dig into that a tiny bit if we may, because this is one of the things that I love about female entrepreneurs. It's often a slow build and it's not like an epiphany where you go, right, I'm going to build a multi-million pounds business. It's more of a unfurling, maybe, a slow burn, a slow build, where you start off with a couple of contracts and then something else happens and then something else happens. And I guess I'm really interested in that part of your story that ties in with the IVF story, if that's okay to talk about that, because I think it's I know that it's a really, really key part of your story and a key driver of why you do what you do. And if it's all right to share that you've now got two boys,
Yes,
so
absolutely.
obviously that's an amazing happy ending to the whole story. What's the question in this? I think it's around, when did you feel like a proper business owner? And when did it kind of switch from that, okay, this is serving me to go on my motherhood journey into, right, come on, let's do it and actually flex my entrepreneurial wing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. And I think you're right. It's absolutely a journey for me. It was about kind of noticing my satisfaction at work and the shift that work took as a role in my life, I guess. So in the early stages of my kids, they're quite close together. They're only 2 years apart. So in those early, the kind of first 3 or 4 years of my business, really, my primary role was that of go and earn some money, go and keep yourself entertained because your husband wants to share parental leave with you. So you've got to leave the house a couple of days a week so he's got some space and you're not dominating. So that's probably what the motivation was at the start. Go and earn a bit of cash to support your family and to be out of the way so he could do the magic stuff that he wants to do, really, in building his relationship with your kids. So that definition of self was about motherhood for a while. So therefore work was a convenience. But I think when we started working together, I sought you out because there was a point at which I started to get more capacity again and I started to feel more like myself again. And I realized that work wasn't serving me or that interesting or that stretching. And I think at that point, my brain started to go, do you really? How do you get that stretch? Do you go back into an environment where you know your morals are going to be compromised and your ethics are going to be compromised? Or do you choose to be brave and build something that you're really proud of and is going to make a difference? And I think, we started to work together at that real tipping point of, well, what is it that you'd be proud of and what is it that you want to do? And I think that idea caught fire with me. And for ages, I felt like I was just playing at it and I started to build this solution. And then I think the point at which I realized I was a business owner was suddenly I noticed that people, it's that feedback bit, people were paying attention, or somebody would give me feedback, or someone told me that I was an inspiration in terms of what I was doing, or people were buying the full service and really excited about it. And then I just like a giddy kid going, oh my God, is this actually happening? And are people buying into this? And I think what I've learned over the years is I'm not set up to believe in myself instinctually. And I've had to really consciously learn to lean into the feedback that I'm getting from other people, whether that's their reaction to what I'm talking about or their response to the services. And I think leaning into that feedback has allowed me to see other people the way I see myself, which is a really helpful thing, certainly in my own experience. I'm not set up to see myself that way. So I really listen to what other people say to me about those things, and that helps, I think.
I think that's really important, and it's I think as women, we're rubbish at this whole thing. And being seen, what is a proper business owner anyway? I mean, my story is very similar to yours. I set up my first business when I was on maternity leave, my second child, and I consciously picked the revenue generating activities that I thought would serve my motherhood. And I've told my story before, but that ended up building me a golden cage. And when I had my third child, sorry, and I went back to work when she was 2 weeks old, I kind of realized that nope, some things have got to change here. And I made that mental switch from mother first and business owner second into actually how can I intentionally build a business that's going to allow me to have it all? And I don't think that happens overnight. I think it is a process. It's a slow burn of getting the feedback, of choosing to listen to that, and spreading your entrepreneurial wings a little bit as well. So the business that you have today, tell us about that. What do you do? What are you really proud of? Why should people listen to you?
Well, so I'm so proud of my business and what it's doing because where it started, really, I guess two it's got two purposes for me. One is really understanding myself as a whole person and what I need in life and setting it up in a way that it serves me. And it's really started to kind of grow and take off now. And that's really challenging me to think about this piece around how do I build a business that's in service to me and my life and my fulfillment as an individual. So there's a piece of me that's really proud that I'm doing that thinking and I'm looking to balance that. But I think The other thing is that it's really born out of me sitting down and looking at my experience and saying, what are the things that I wasn't proud of in my previous life? What are the barriers that I kept hitting for impact? And how do I solve those problems? So that's a long answer to say. Basically, it's a culture change consultancy, but really, the purpose of my business is about building culture change capability in other organizations. So, having worked at big consultancies in the past, it's all about dependency, kind of doing what feels like the easy thing just to tick boxes. So, the methodology that I've built really looks to unpick some of those big barriers to success and looks to remove responsibility and kind of being tied into consultancies into really building consultancy and building capability in businesses for people to own their own culture. So that's about really feeling pride and stretching my own brain because, you know, I love what I do and it's a really interesting job. But I think there's a massive thing for me about feeling like I'm creating a better world of work. So when my kids hit work, actually, there is a just greater capability for people to create environments where people are thriving and business success and that ability of people to have good life and good work sit together rather than there being these separate things that sometimes come together and don't. So yeah, you know, it's a really cool job. I feel like I'm really making a difference to the world of work. And I love the fact that by the time I've been working with a business for even 6, 10 months, I'm saying, yeah, but you don't need me to do that. You need to do that yourself. You just seeing other people lift and being able to make magic things happen is pretty awesome, to be honest.
Without betraying any confidences, I remember some of the work that we did together was about turning perceptions on their head that some of the work in your field traditionally can be seen as a bit dry. And I've been quite careful with my words here so as not to offend anybody. And your whole angle is coming at it with authenticity and a bit of personality and a bit of fun into. Culture change can be seen as dull as dishwater, can't it? What do you think makes you different? Why do you think your clients love
So give a shit if I'm completely
you?
honest. I think because I'm focused on the outcome and focused on their success over my own, you know, I don't care about reputation or projections or all that sort of stuff. For me, it's about let's agree what the impact that you want to deliver is. And I only work with organizations where I align with that impact, where I can see actually that they want to do good for the people as well as do good for the business. And I think people just appreciate the fact that if I think they're telling themselves a story that's going to get in the way, that I'll call it out in a, you know, in a compassionate way. But it's not for me about blowing smoke up all of the bottoms that I can see, really. And I think a lot of consultancy is about that, is who's paying my check and how do I keep them happy? How do I keep this relationship going? And for me, longevity of relationship is about trust, compassion, but also that willingness to have your back even whenever your own fear or your own barriers are getting in the way. You know, it's I'm sure it's the same for you as a coach. You know, sometimes you have to say really difficult things to people to help them get to where they want to get to. And I think ultimately people really appreciate that about me because then they get out of their own way or they help the other people in their business get out of their own way to get to where they really want to. And I think a lot of my industry is about making people feel safe and like something is happening without really making anything happen.
Yeah, for sure. You've got to have that relationship, haven't you? You've got to have that trust in order to be able to say those difficult things. But when you get the right clients, and that's a problem in itself, isn't it? Making sure that you're working with the right people, the impact you can have by having those difficult conversations, it's exciting, isn't it, being part of that?
Yeah, and I think that's a big step for me and my business around that alignment is being really careful about who I choose as my clients. So particularly on the big kind of activations that we do, which can be, you know, a year, 18-month, 24-month relationship, depending on the readiness of the business, I do not work with those businesses until I've sat down with their chief executive and had a proper conversation that isn't just what's the business case, which is important, but, you know, why is this important to you? What skin have you got in the game? And why do you want your business? What do you want your business to feel like moving forward? And why? why are you going to put the effort in to make that happen? And I think that that's very different from other consultancies that I've worked for, where it's like, oh, we've got an HR, a knackered HR leader who's trying to make this difference themselves, which is massively important. But if they're stuck in a broken system, what you risk doing is lifting hope or helping them just to continue to reinforce those bits that are broken. So I'm really careful now about that contracting piece and making sure that there's a fit and a readiness for change, because if there's not, there's no point.
Totally. Okay. So imagine we've got a business founder or an entrepreneur or CEO listening to this, and they've grown rapidly, and maybe the wheels have started to come off a little bit, and they are recognizing there is a cultural problem. Or maybe they don't even know it's a cultural problem. They just know that something isn't quite right. People are leaving. The chats around the virtual water coolers or literal water coolers are a bit stilted. What would you want to say to them?
I think for me, you've got to go back to basics. Whether you are tiny, so if you even in your own business as an individual founder or as a CEO or an MD in a business that's growing fast, the question I would always encourage you to ask yourself is, what do we need it to feel like around here for us to deliver on our business goals? So, whenever I'm supporting businesses on defining ideal culture, there's always two questions that I ask. One is, what type of behaviors do we need in order to succeed? But also then, what type of environment or how do people need to feel in order to demonstrate those behaviors? So if you keep that close, both what how we need to be to deliver what we need to deliver, but then how what it needs to feel like and what type of energy we need to have to get there, those will guide you towards creating an environment that makes you look after your people, which gets your people to look after your business. And I see that as a founder of my own business. Sometimes I get so focused on the task or the project that sometimes I've just got to step back and say, yeah, but does this feel okay? Am I evil? Is this pulling out the version of myself that I need to be for my business to succeed? So that question works whether you're huge, medium, or little. Go with the feels. It's got to feel right if you want people to act right.
What about mistakes? What kind of mistake drives you? Do you see clients or business owners making continually that you just want to kind of grab them by the scruff of the neck and go, "Don't do it"?
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's assuming that colleagues or employees' behavior is something that happens in isolation. So often I will talk to businesses that are looking for a change and they'll say, people are just not personally responsible. They just don't take enough accountability. Like there's this vacuum and people just turn up on a day and they don't want to feel proud or connected to what they're doing. And I think recognizing that all behavior is an outcome of environment, of stimuli, I think is really helpful. And I guess that's where my psychology training is really useful, because in my world, 1 + 1 always equals 2. So if you've got 2 and you want to figure out why, you need to go back and see where the equation is and what the numbers are that are adding up to that. So thinking about, if you see some behavior that's problematic, rather than just saying, oh, aren't they annoying? Aren't people always just taking and just want things on their own terms? Just start to be curious and think, well, what's driving that? Why is that person not taking responsibility? What in the system has told them that that's the way they should act? And if you understand those bits, then you're able to tweak them to get a different behavior. So yeah, rather than blaming, take that curious position, and that'll help you to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you wish that you had known when you were starting off in your entrepreneurial journey? What advice would you give yourself as a newly pregnant, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, aspiring entrepreneur?
Needing the naps, all the naps. Think back, back yourself. I think that's the thing that I've really kind of grown into over the last few years is really nailing down what is my value. I was going to say unique value. I'm sure other people have similar value and maybe express it in different ways, but what really that piece around understanding who I am and what my value is, and aligning to that in my business. So I think one of the biggest things that has allowed my business to grow quickly is that authenticity, not trying to be like the big boys or the other girls or the like in terms of approach, but just being my giddy Northern Irish self who really loves this and gets a bit carried away with it. I've attracted people who like that energy and succeed with that energy. And so I think trust in yourself, backing yourself, and being yourself is the best thing that you can really do. I do think it's a time, you know, it's a process. It takes time to do that, but the sooner that you're willing to reveal yourself within your own business, the more you can use that in your power, really.
I 1,000,000% agree with that. I mean, obviously, I would do as an authenticity coach, but yeah, you say you kind of step back from using the word unique value, but I think that's exactly it. Absolutely. You know, people may have the same experience, the same qualifications, but nobody can tell your story or show up in exactly the same way that you do. My next question was going to be, which is using your words in a slightly different way, what do you believe your superpower is? Is it that authenticity, or is the something else that you believe is your superpower?
I think it is the authenticity, because what that allows is energy, probably. So I think the thing that people really are attracted to about me is that sense of boundless energy, really, that absolute drive towards that end goal. And the fact that nothing really phases me, you know, it's whatever happens, however a part of a business reacts to a change, it's all just information to me, and thinking, right, well, how do we take that and move forward? So I think that people really appreciate that, but you get that at a much different level now for me than you did do 10 years ago, when I was locked in a business where I didn't think I was making a difference, because I couldn't have been as optimistic, because I didn't believe that it would really make the change happen. So I think that alignment, that sense of really leaning into what I believe is right, being myself, has allowed me to unlock that in a way that maybe I never could have done before, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's that whole, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I pride myself on having grown a aligned and authentic business, which is what we're talking about really, isn't it? And could I have done that 10 years ago? Did I need to get the grey hairs and wrinkles of learning my trade, of perfecting my craft? I don't know. I don't, maybe it's a combination of environment, maybe it's a combination of experience and bravery. I think that's an bravery and vulnerability is an underrated trait of entrepreneurs, certainly being able to put yourself forward bravely and show up exactly as you are and trusting that some people are going to get it, awesome, work with them, and some people are going to just completely be turned off by you, and that's absolutely okay too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, isn't it? For me, I think that bravery piece leads. So I think my experiences, etc., journeys through life have helped me to be braver. But I think if I'd have leaned into it sooner, I could have created the circumstances where I could trust myself sooner. So that's definitely a journey that I had to take. But I think I could have taken that journey 10 years earlier. I was just kind of caught in thinking that success was something else, perhaps. I don't know. Well, I was trying to turn a business that I was in into the business that I have now, and no wonder I burned out, because, you know, it wasn't one that had the same values or the same priorities, really.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's the same as parenting, isn't it? Pick your battles.
Yeah,
Know where
absolutely.
you can have the most impact and let some things go that aren't quite right and lean into what is. What's next for you? What's coming up on the horizon?
I think it's just about leveraging the kind of noise and success of the business so far, really. I think it's at a really exciting point now that it's growing really quickly, and it's creating lots of opportunities. So I'm in that place now of trying to make sure that I'm consolidating the success and all of the foundations that we've put in place to this point, but properly looking to the future in terms of, well, what's the next chapter, and how do I really lean into the growth that's happening in a way that aligns with what I want life to be. So I think it's that piece around keeping that authenticity, keeping work as a really positive, energizing part of the whole of life, rather than kind of getting too giddy about growth and turning it into something that I don't necessarily want it to be honest.
Yeah, amazing. Well, we will put links in the show notes so people can find you if they're interested in the work that you're doing. But is there anything else that you would want to mention? Anything else that you'd like to share with us before we wrap up for today?
No, I don't think so. It's been lovely to chat, as always.
Always, yeah. You know, you're one of my favorite people. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And yeah, I will. I'll see you in Wales for our next retreat.
Woohoo!
So there we have it. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening. In case nobody's told you today, you're awesome. See you next time.